This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner, McPherson's sports talk show.
Bullpups win! Bullpups win! Bullpups win it!
Listen every day, Monday through Friday, from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com. According to Jim is your source for Chiefs talk.
10-5, touchdown, Kansas City, a 106-yard kickoff return right out of the gate.
The Royals.
Swinging a ground ball to third is fair. Fair ball up the left field line. Here's Cologne, and the Royals win it.
College football and college basketball.
8 to shoot, Hall, the runner. Loose ball, it's good! The slipper still fits!
And everything else that's going on in the sports world.
Inside corner, the Royals, 2015 World Champions!
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's your host, Jim Joyner.
Let's do this thing, According to Jim, right here on 96.7 FM, KBBE, Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1. This is show number 4. I think I've said it all the other shows. We haven't been kicked off yet, so we have made it through 3 full shows, Steve.
And there's people listening.
I can't believe it.
Yeah. Two guys like us, I mean, we have faces that are made for radio, though.
I know, I do. He's Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner, and we have a good show today. We, of course, are done with the wild card games of both the American League and the National League, with the Arizona Diamondbacks making it to take on the Los Angeles Dodgers in the National League Divisional Series. We will have a couple of American League playoff games today, as well as we're going to talk a little bit of bullpup football as we are itching to go for Friday night. The Bullpups and the Rockets of Rose Hill, 4-1 against 1-4 in the final game before districts. And this is where it starts to get exciting with these final 3 games in district play in Kansas. You hate to say that the other games don't matter, but in reality, nothing matters until week 7.
And that's why they call the districts the second season, because the first 6 games is the first season. It's the 6 games that get you ready for district, at least if you're a school McPherson size. Now, some of the area schools have already started districts. Of course, the big one, Mound Ridge and Inman this week, that's a real key district game.
The biggest rivalry west of the Mississippi.
Exactly, exactly. I'm glad you've picked up on that. But anyway, glad to be home Friday night. We had Coach Pav in today. We talked to him every Thursday. He comes in and we kind of discuss everything. And if you go to midkansasonline.com right now, you'll see a full-blown preview complete with Coach Pav's thoughts. You won't find it anywhere else, with his thoughts on the game and already posted up there. And our area roundup is already posted. And I did feature Inman and Mound Ridge game to kick things off. So lots up on the website today if you haven't been there already. But getting back to the Bullpups, the big thing is rain, go away, because right now the forecast is for almost 100% chance rain at kickoff, and some of it very heavy. So the Bullpups may have to abandon their pass happy ways and keep the ball on the ground, which they are more than capable of doing.
Or the absolute worst case scenario, in my opinion, would be having to turn around and play that game on Saturday morning. And that was something that Coach Pav and I talked about, that whenever you're used to playing on a Friday and then you have to play on a Saturday, it turns your whole week off a little bit, where you're used to having that Saturday to do your film and you get to rest up a little bit, where instead you're pushed back a day. And especially before, I guess you can call it the most important, first important game of the season, that's not what you want to have happen.
Yeah, and I think the last time I can remember that happening for the Bullpups, we were playing El Dorado in El Dorado, Lightning. We came home, we turned around, I think we played either 10 or 11 in the morning.
Not fun.
And it wasn't fun, and we weren't very good then, and we didn't play well, and I think we maybe got shut out by El Dorado. And other than that, of course, Matt College has played 2 games. You know, they've had 2 of them postponed. They played Bethel last year on a Sunday, Bethany on a Sunday this year. So it does happen. But as you mentioned on the schedule, for a coach, it throws everything off. You're a day behind, and you spend the rest of the week trying to catch up.
So before we dive too much into the bullpups, I wanted to talk about something that happened yesterday. So after I got out of here from working yesterday, I was at home and I was listening to a podcast with Laura Rutledge on it, who is an SEC Network host, and she's the host of SEC Nation, which is their similar to College Game Day that runs on the SEC Network. And me being the Arkansas fan that I am, of course, I'm paying attention to what's going on down in the Southeast. And Laura Rutledge, this is her first year as the host of SEC Nation, and she had done some sideline reporting, and I think a lot of people know her because she was the one that was interviewing John Calipari last year whenever he was in front of the Missouri student section and they were chanting, "Cal, you suck." and she said, "Hey, how about these students right
here?"
Yeah,
hey.
And then he walked off. And so she's well known for that, which she talked about, and unfortunate that it's that. But the thing for me that I was listening to her is I was going, man, she does such a good job. And I watch SEC Nation almost every single Saturday morning. Tim Tebow is on there. And Laura Rutledge does a phenomenal job. And as soon as I get done thinking that, I get on Twitter, and the first video that pops up is a Carolina Panthers press conference. And I'm thinking, okay, what did Cam Newton say this time? And I hear Charlotte Observer reporter Jordan Rodrigue ask this question to Cam Newton.
I know you take a lot of pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck-sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny. But fun is coming along, man. This is a big game for him.
So in case you didn't hear that quote, he said, it's funny to hear a female talk about routes. And he said that after Jordan Rodrigue asked him about Devin Funchess, a wide receiver for the Panthers. And this was a good question, I thought. And I have backed up Cam Newton for a lot of things over the years. I was backing him up when he was at Auburn and all that madness was going on. I was backing him up during his MVP season in 2015 when some people were criticizing him. I've backed him up on a lot of things. But yesterday was a hard thing for me to back up because of what he said. And this is something that I have a big problem with because there are a lot of women in sports media that get treated unfairly. And I don't think that this comment means that he's a terrible person. I don't think it really even means that he's sexist. And I think that this will be a moment for him to learn. But this is not the type of comment that will continue to keep pushing women forward in media. And it's more of a comment that will keep pushing them away. Because she asked a legitimate question, and instead of acknowledging that she's asking a good question and going, yeah, this is just normal, she knows what she's talking about. Because she's a woman, he did not respect what she had to say, and he was put back, or he was taken aback by what she had to say.
I found it degrading. I found it sexist. I thought it was ridiculous. And the first thing he should have done today is come out and totally apologize to her. And, hey, there's a lot of women that know 10 times more about football or other sports than some men out there. And, boy, that was just when I saw that, I just said, boy, Cam Newton, you're just like a caveman. You are living in the caves. And it's going to be something that's going to dog him for a while because he just, set journalism back, quite a bit. So Cam Newton needs to come out and issue an apology. I thought it was a pretty good question myself. I didn't see any problem with it. I don't know what set him off to, say that, but I just found it the whole thing ridiculous.
And I don't think he meant for this to be mean, but that's the problem with it.
I think he was trying to be funny.
Yes.
And, so...
That's the problem.
Yeah, and it wasn't funny. It was sexist, and it made me think of Joanna Chadwick from the Wichita Eagle. Used to be their prep writer for 20 years, and she got out a couple years ago, but Joanna was probably the number one prep writer in Kansas.
Yeah.
And just did outstanding work. I'm proud to call her a friend. I've got her on Facebook. She's now teaching journalism in Derby. And I'll guarantee you, the first thing she did in her journalism class today was talk about Cam Newton and how ridiculous those comments were.
And comments from athletes pop up a lot. And sometimes they'll make some statements like this. But it's not about playing the game and having the experience in order to be a journalist and in order to report and analyze things, because that's not an excuse that athletes can make anymore. And just because I didn't play Major League Baseball doesn't mean that I cannot talk about baseball. And just because I did not play in the NBA doesn't mean I don't know anything about basketball. And Steve, you've been covering sports for, what, 42 years. How many sports did you play professionally?
I didn't play any.
How about collegiately?
I played golf collegiately, paid my way through school, but other than that, but I'm not hardly an expert on that, even though I coached it, but I don't consider myself an expert on that.
And how many sports did you even play in high school?
I played one sport in high school on a team. So,
and you have been the Kansas Sports Writer of the Year two times.
That is correct, sir.
So it's not because you have never played the sport that people respect what you have to say. It's because you have put in the time, you have logged the hours, you've made long road trips, and you've seen a lot that's happened. And that's a big advantage for men, because people assume that we know what we're talking about when it comes to sports just because we're men. Where with women, they have a harder time with that with some of the athletes and with people that are reading and watching what they're doing, because people assume they don't know what they're doing, which is not the case.
Well, I have a female friend that I talk with quite often, and we talk sports. And I'll guarantee you, when it comes to baseball, she knows as much about baseball as I do. So, and going back, Joanna Chadwick, by the way, was a Kansas Sports Writer of the Year. So obviously, Kansas recognizes that women can do the job. So, Joanna, like I say, one of the best prep writers, and I'll tell you, those kids down in Derby, they're learning from one of the best as far as journalism ethics, I should say.
And so Cam's comments that if anybody would say, well, he's just saying that because she didn't play, that's not the case. And we saw this same thing happen about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, when Beth Mowins was broadcasting the Chargers-Broncos game on Monday Night Football. And Beth Mowins is 50 times the play-by-play broadcaster that I am. She has been doing it forever, and she is one of the best, in my opinion. But just because she's a woman, people had so many negative comments about her doing an NFL game. Nobody has a problem with her doing an 11 a.m. Big Ten game, but when she got a Monday Night Football, people just ripped her for absolutely no reason, and that's what the sports world is trying to get rid of within the media.
Well, I'll tell you, Doris Burke does NBA, and you know, she's a game analyst. I find her as insightful as any of the men analysts on the air. I mean, Hubie Brown is still probably the best analyst you'll get, but Doris Burke, she knows her stuff, and I would, you know, I enjoy games that she does. So women can do the job. There's no doubt about that.
And there are so many fantastic female reporters. And, you know, just off the top of my head, Katie Nolan from Fox Sports 1 and Garbage Time, now with ESPN. You have Danny Welniak, who is on our radio station in the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network. She played football. Then you have Rachel Nichols, Michelle Tafoya, Susie Colbert, Ramona Shelbourne, Michelle Beadle. I mean, we can go on and on with all these great women that are in media. And there's something that Katie Nolan says all the time that I think is a really good point. And that is that just because a woman doesn't remember where every player on the Detroit Lions went to college, or you don't remember the birthplace of every NBA MVP, doesn't mean that you don't know sports. Because there's this tendency with men that when a woman goes, yeah, I love sports, that they go, oh, well, they try and throw pop quizzes at them. And they go, okay, well, maybe I don't know that, but I still love football. And that's another thing that has to change. And with incidents like with Cam Newton yesterday, that keeps pushing women back, both in the sports media world and just with sports in general, because this is a league and a world full of sports that women are a part of, whether people like it or not.
Oh, exactly. And this is going to be a topic, I think, that's going to be in the forefront now. Cam Newton's put it there, but it's a topic that should never, you know, be discussed, but now it's in the forefront.
And like I said at the beginning, I don't think this makes Cam Newton a terrible person. I don't even think it makes him a sexist. I just think that he has to be careful of what he's saying, and hopefully this will open a lot of eyes for people. So now the serious stuff is over here on According to Jim. We will talk about the Bullpup football team and their game on Friday night against Rose Hill. Coming up after the break, you're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim with Jim Joyner podcast. According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on According to Jim, Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. You can listen to us online as well, anywhere in the world, on the go at midkansasonline.com. And you can also find our show on podcast on soundcloud.com/KBBE Sports or on the iTunes podcast page. So we just spent time talking about the Cam Newton situation, and now we don't have to talk about that anymore. Look at us getting political and throwing out some big-time opinions here in week number one. Bold move by us.
Oh, bold. Very bold. But it was a subject that we felt like needed to be covered, and I think we handled it with aplomb.
Yeah, I think we did too. Yeah. At least I'm going to keep telling myself that. So now, let's talk a little bit about the Bullpup football team as they will take on Rose Hill tomorrow night at McPherson Stadium. We've talked a little bit about the weather and what could possibly be coming that way. But with this Rose Hill team, this was a team that at the beginning of the season, Coach Pav was very high on. And that's the way he is with a lot of teams because he respects everybody. But they saw Rose Hill in the summer at one of the camps, and he was very impressed with them, and they had some size. But the problem with Rose Hill right now as they come into this game 1-4 is that they are very banged up. And he said that they counted on the sidelines last week 8 different guys in street clothes. And so I think that this is a Rose Hill team that if they can get everybody back and healthy, then they will have a chance in districts. But until that happens, they're relying on some younger guys, and it's going to be very tough.
And Rose Hill has, you know, played us pretty tough since we started playing them. The first year we played Rose Hill was right after they'd won the state championship, I believe, in 2011, and we've gone 5-0 against them. And one year, I remember there was an 8-7 game in there that, boy, we were just lucky to get away with. But Rose Hill, they've got some tough kids, but I still think on a dry night, this would be a Bullpup convincing victory. Rain could be the great equalizer. I've covered a lot of games in 42 years. I covered a college game back at McPherson Stadium, I believe it was about 1985. Ottawa came in here, nationally ranked. It was a downpour the whole game. The Bulldogs won that game, the only game they won all year. I think Ottawa went on to win the conference. I think it was their only loss they had. But there was 12 fumbles by Ottawa as it was a downpour. And I think the Bulldogs won the game something like 7-6 or 7-3 or something like that. But rain can be a great equalizer. But give Coach Pav credit. He's had the kids out when it has been raining in practice. They have not gone inside. They've stayed outside. And they constantly are wetting the football because if the forecast is for true, they're going to be playing with a wet football night. He wants quarterback Kyler Hoppus, the receivers, the running backs, to be used to playing with a slick football because it will be slick no matter how often they change the football out and keep it covered. If it's a downpour, it's going to be wet every play.
So you mentioned the Rose Hill State Championship in 2011, and so I started to do some digging because they have not been a great team since then. So in the 8 seasons leading up to 2011, Rose Hill won 73% of its games with 2 state title appearances, and they had 5 seasons where they won 9 or more games. So that was the 8 seasons before. And since winning that state title, which would be, I believe, 6 full seasons or 5 full seasons, they have won 30% of their games, and they have 6 or more losses in all 5 of those seasons. And it's amazing how a program who had been so dominant for a stretch of almost a decade with a state championship thrown in the mix has not necessarily fallen off the map, but changed the entire dynamic of the program.
And it's also, in the contrast of that, before Tom Young got to McPherson in 2006, McPherson had only had like 3 winning seasons since 1989, and now the Bullpups are a consistent winner. So I go back to things being cyclical, and right now Rose Hill's in a down cycle, McPherson's in an up cycle, and Got to take advantage of that if you're the Bull Pups. Of course, Rose Hill will be on the schedule next year. We have the 2018 schedule posted at midkansasonline.com. It was released yesterday. The Bull Pups have to go to Rose Hill next year, and that's a place we've always struggled with. This year it's here, and I like the Bull Pups' chances to be a very solid winner.
So we've talked a little bit about Alex Smith and how him is not necessarily a game manager, but a guy who takes care of the football and doesn't turn it over is a very huge part to the Chiefs. And I think with this Bullpup team, the way that Kyler Hoppus has played these last four games without turning the ball over, he has 11 touchdowns. The two interceptions came in the first game against Bueller on back-to-back plays to start the third quarter. But he has been not necessarily perfect, but the perfect fit for this role. And if you go back 3 months ago, I think a lot of people thought it would be Drew Labberto at quarterback. And now, Kyler Hoppus has stepped into this role as just a junior, and he is leading this team, and they have not shown any signs, especially offensively, that they are turnover prone, which is another big thing to have when it comes to the playoffs, but that he's been able to control the games. And because of that, they've had a balanced offense, rushing and passing.
And you can see the maturation process in Kyler Hoppus. Every game, he just seems more and more confident. His decision-making seems to be better and better. He really hasn't come close to throwing an interception since that first game. I was like everybody else. I was a little worried. You know, he threw those back-to-back picks, and I think he had maybe a fumble in there too in that first game against Bueller. But since then, I think he sees what turnovers can do in a game, and he has really taken the extra steps to make sure that he secures the football. He doesn't if he throws a football away, he makes sure nobody can catch it, and he has often thrown passes that only his receiver can catch. Now, his receivers might not be able to catch him, but the defensive back cannot catch him either.
So we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves with District starting next week, with Week 7 at Hayes, Week 8 Wamego comes to town, and then Week 9 Abilene will be here. So those are the District games. We'll talk a little bit about those more next week, because we don't want to look ahead to what is coming there. And I think that this will be a fun game tomorrow night, maybe a wet game, and we will see what happens. We'll also have Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle on tomorrow to talk a little bit about the area, talk a little bit about the Wichita teams, and get us ready for Friday Night Football, because, Steve, you and I both love high school football.
Yeah, and Taylor Eldridge and I have kind of a bond. He's the prep writer at the Eagle. He and I share a birthday, for one thing.
You share a birthday with a lot of people.
And also, Taylor's father and I played college golf against each other. He was an absolutely tremendous golfer down at Coffeyville Community College. He'd played high school at campus, but Taylor Eldridge, his dad could beat me like a drum.
Well, I guess that would make him way better than me. So, coming up after the break, we will talk about the rest of the Major League Baseball playoffs as the tables are set for both the American League Division Series and the National League Division Series. Coming up after the break, you're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim with Jim Joyner podcast. According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
We're back on According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE. Jim Joyner, Steve Sell, and our final segment of the day. We've said it now four straight days, but 30 minutes absolutely flies. We're 25 minutes in now, and it feels like we just started talking. We talked about Cam Newton a little bit earlier. We just got done talking about Bullpup football. We barely have time to talk about anything.
Exactly, and I just got to text my friend Wilson out there listening. So another listener out there.
Thank you to our one listener.
Yeah, Wilson. Say hi to Wilson.
Hi, Wilson.
Wilson will like that. But anyway, it really does. Time flies when you're having fun. We got one more topic to go.
And tomorrow, we're going to have Taylor Eldridge on to preview what's been going on with the high school sports in the area and a preview for tomorrow night. But also, we want to do something kind of fun. We're going to take some calls tomorrow, and we're going to get some people's predictions on what's going to happen tomorrow night between the Bullpups and the Rockets. So you'll have to be ready tomorrow in our final segment to pick up that phone, call us, and we're going to let you air it out. Give us your predictions. And we want some detailed predictions. We want people calling in with spreads, with parlays, maybe doubling up with the Bueller game somewhere. We want this to be exciting. So get ready tomorrow. We'll be doing that. We'll also be hearing from Fearless Forecaster. He dropped his picks off today, didn't he?
Yes, he did. I've got his picks, and I'm processing them right now. And had a good week last week. I think he was 16-2. And
That's pretty good.
He needed it because he'd gone 12-8 the week before.
Now, he's going for 80%, right?
80%. That's always the goal.
And picking the KCAC games, the league games with the Bullpups, the Big 12 games.
And the area game, McPherson area game. So, yeah.
16-2. Good record.
Yeah.
Well, as we get ready for the playoffs today, first game of the playoffs besides the wild card in the ALDS, the Red Sox at the Astros, starting here in about 2 hours on MLB Network. It'll be Chris Sale against Justin Verlander, and it's about time Chris Sale has an opportunity to pitch in the playoffs after spending a ton of time on the south side of Chicago and ripping the sleeves off of his jersey in frustration that one night. He was due for it. We talked about him a moment yesterday, coming from Florida Gulf Coast, the home of the Eagles. Chris Sale has been very good this year, a ton of strikeouts. Going up against Justin Verlander of the Tigers, who came from the Tigers, this is a very good Game 1 pitching matchup. Game 2, Drew Pomeranz against Dallas Keuchel, another good matchup. And Game 3, we don't know yet in that series, but the first two games down in Houston, oh boy, it's going to be fun.
I like the Astros. I really do. Verlander has just been great. Sale actually did not pitch well in September at all, and that bandbox down there at Minute Maid Park, you know, with the train tracks and things like that.
Choo-choo.
Yeah, choo-choo, choo-choo. And, I like Houston. I picked them in four to begin with. I just have not been sold on Boston. I think the Yankees were actually the best team in the division. Had the Yankees not started so poorly, I think they were 44-40 at one point. The Yankees clearly were the best team in the division. They just had too much ground to make up.
Yeah, the Astros, you know what can happen there. Down at Minute Maid Park with the short porch, we saw what happened in Game 4 of the ALDS a couple of years ago, and even though it ended up going in the Royals' favor, it could have been much worse. And in the game tonight, the Yankees at the Indians, 6:30 on FS1. The Yankees have finally announced their pitching starters for the first three games. Sonny Gray and Trevor Bauer in Game 1. CeCe Sabathia and Corey Kluber in Game 2, with CeCe going back to Cleveland. And then when the series goes to the Bronx, it'll be Carlos Carrasco and Masahiro Tanaka.
Boy, Yankees kind of soured on Severino after getting knocked out, and he only went a third of an inning in Game 1. Surprises me just a little bit, but boy, this is the World Series to me. I've said it before. Cleveland, New York, whoever wins will be your World Series champion.
And we talked about it a little bit yesterday, getting ahead of the NL wildcard game, which was last night, another four-hour game that was full of home runs. And I think maybe if we thought this game was in Denver with the Rockies, we would think, yeah, for sure, tons of home runs, a bunch of triples in the game. But it was in the desert, and I had a buddy there covering it for the Cronkite School in Phoenix, a guy that I worked with down in Florida. And they had so many press ready to cover it there for the Diamondbacks, because they've been waiting to get back to this, that they had him set up behind the hitter's eye in center field. So he was a long way away to cover the game.
And don't be surprised if the Diamondbacks beat the Dodgers in that series. I picked the Dodgers, but the more I look at the matchups, I'm starting to think maybe I should have gone with Arizona. But right now I'm sticking with the Dodgers, and then the Cubs over the Dodgers to see who gets into the World Series.
And those games will start on Friday. Kyle Hendricks against Steven Strasburg in the Cubs National Series, and then John Lester against to be determined for the Nationals. And I think it would have to be Max Scherzer, haven't fully announced it
yet. He's got a bad hammy, so they're not quite sure if he's going to pitch Game 2 or 3. And if he pitches Game 3, that means he'd be available to come out of the bullpen in Game 5.
And the Diamondbacks have not yet announced their rotation either, but the Dodgers will throw Clayton Kershaw out there for Game 1, Rich Hill for Game 2, and Clayton Kershaw, he has had that monkey on his back for the last few years in the postseason, but...
Well, that's because he went against the Cardinals. The Cardinals owned the Cardinals.
When you get the bases loaded, and I don't remember who it was that ripped that triple that cleared the bases, he had pitched a good game.
Yeah.
And then the Cardinals decided to go into Dodger Stadium and say goodbye to Clayton Kershaw. Man, he has struggled in the playoffs.
Yeah, but he's too good a pitcher to keep having problems in the playoffs.
Red Sox and the Astros about to start. Yankees and Indians coming up on FS1 at 6:30. That's it. We ran out of time. Fourth show of the According to Jim franchise is in the books.
And we're still here.
I know. I can't believe it. Misty Ray, our operations manager, is looking in here and saying, hey, get off the air. You guys better get off. Okay. Oh, she says she's just kidding. Okay. Well, for Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim, and we have a great show planned tomorrow. So make sure to listen at 12:30. We'll go from 12:30 to 1, and also you can listen to us on podcast at soundcloud.com/KBBE. Thanks for listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.